Ever catch yourself saying, I'd love to learn that, but who has the time?
Yeah, that happens all the time.
It's like we've accepted this time scarcity as a fact of life,
Right?
especially when it comes to learning new things at work.
Definitely. Always swamped.
Exactly. But the report we're diving into today, From Time to Value, challenges that assumption head on.
Oh, interesting. How so?
They argue it's not about finding more time for learning, but about maximizing the value of the time we already have.
Makes sense.
They actually open with a case study about a professional services firm. Employees were putting in the time, exceeding their minimum learning hours, in fact.
Wow, so they were definitely hitting the targets.
On paper, yes, but it wasn't translating into real impact.
So all motion, no movement.
Exactly. Which begs the question, if simply logging more hours isn't the answer, where should companies be focusing their efforts?
Right. What's the secret sauce?
The report dives into five key factors.
Five.
Five key factors that, when combined, unlock the true value of learning and development.
Okay, I'm intrigued. Lay it on me.
I'm ready to dive in. Are you in?
Let's do it. They call them strategic alignment, relevance to the individual, quality of experience, long-term continuity, and breadth of opportunity.
Five factors, all working together.
Exactly. It's about the whole package, not just cherry-picking.
So, relevance to the individual. That one really jumped out at me because it seems like a no-brainer, right? People learn better when it applies to their work.
Absolutely. But you'd be surprised how often it's overlooked.
So how do companies actually get this right?
The report gave a great example, a convenience store chain. They were trying to revamp their leadership training.
Okay, makes sense. Big challenge in retail.
Huge. So they wanted to reduce manager turnover, boost customer satisfaction, all that.
Key metrics right there.
Exactly. And instead of guessing what managers needed, they actually asked them.
Love that.
Right. They did these in-depth interviews, figured out the day-to-day challenges, what would actually help.
So they treated their employees like customers, basically.
Exactly. Figure out what they need, design the experience around that.
Brilliant. And what happened?
Well, they created this super realistic leadership simulation based on all that feedback.
Okay, so they put it into action.
They did, and the results were pretty amazing. Manager attrition dropped like 18%, customer satisfaction jumped 12%.
Wow, that's a pretty impressive ROI on just asking the right questions.
Right. Proves the point.
Definitely. Okay, so that's relevance. What about this strategic alignment? I'll admit, I was a little skeptical at first.
Yeah, I get it. Sounds a bit like buzzword bingo.
Right. Like just a way to make the CLO's job easier.
Sure. But the report digs a bit deeper.
Okay.
It's more about making learning core to the company's strategy, not just an afterthought.
So, tied to the big picture, actually moving the needle.
Exactly. They had this example of a consulting firm where the CLO is actually part of the strategic planning process.
Whoa, seriously? Not just brought in at the last minute?
Nope. Right there from the start, shaping the strategy, not just reacting to it.
That changes everything. Okay, I'm starting to see how powerful this can be.
Right. It's about embedding learning into the company's DNA.
Yeah. Love that. Okay, so we've got relevance, strategic alignment, but what about the learning itself? Isn't all learning good learning?
You'd hope so, right? But we've all sat through those boring training sessions.
Oh, tell me about it.
The ones where you're just dying to check your phone.
The worst.
Yeah. And this report, they emphasize that people learn best by doing, by applying what they're learning.
Makes sense. Active learning, not just passive absorption.
Exactly. And they had this great case study. A professional services firm decided to ditch their old school classroom training.
Good for them.
Right. Those day-long sessions, everyone's miserable.
The worst.
So they switched to bite-sized, on-demand digital modules.
Ah, that's better.
Way better.
Yeah.
Employees could learn what they needed, when they needed it, in a format that actually worked.
Meeting them where they are.
Exactly. And because it was relevant, tied to their actual work, they were more likely to use it.
Makes a huge difference. So we've got strategic alignment, relevance, quality of experience. What about the other two? Long-term continuity and breadth of opportunity. So instead of one and done, it's about making learning an ongoing thing.
Right, building that continuous learning culture.
But how do companies actually pull that off, get people to stay engaged over time?
There are a few ways. Some companies get pretty specific. This one pharmaceutical company, they set a target of 100 learning hours per year for every employee.
100 hours, that's a pretty serious commitment.
Yeah, no messing around there. It's baked right into their culture.
Makes a statement for sure, but I imagine not every company is that gung-ho.
True. The report mentioned others that tie learning to performance reviews, promotions, that sort of thing.
Interesting. So it's not just encouraged, it's expected.
Exactly. But there's also the flip side. Some companies take a more hands-off approach.
Okay. How does that work?
Well, they give employees a learning budget, let them choose how to use it.
So more autonomy. Trust that employees will find what's valuable.
Exactly. But regardless of the approach, the successful ones had one thing in common.
What's that?
Transparency. Employees knew what was expected, what was available, how it all connected.
Makes sense. Can't really prioritize learning if you're in the dark.
Right, right. And speaking of priorities, that brings us to our last factor, breadth of opportunity.
The idea that everyone should have a chance to learn and grow.
Exactly. And this one's close to my heart because it often gets overlooked.
In what way?
Frontline workers. They're the face of the company, but they often get left behind.
The folks interacting with customers every day.
Exactly. And they want to move up, but they don't always have the support.
Huge missed opportunity.
Huge. The report even mentioned this McKinsey study. Something like 70% of frontline workers had applied for promotions, but many felt stuck.
Wow. So the desire is there, just needs to be nurtured?
Totally. And the report had this great example. A consumer goods company, they really went all in on frontline development.
What did that look like?
Everything. They created clear career paths, offered tuition assistance, skills training, mentorship programs, you name it.
Sounds like they threw the whole playbook at it.
They did. And it paid off big time, lower turnover, more internal promotions. Even the company culture got a boost.
It's amazing what happens when people feel valued, like they have a future.
Absolutely. It's not just about the bottom line. It's about doing the right thing.
Couldn't agree more. Well, we've covered a lot of ground today, these five factors: strategic alignment, relevance, quality of experience, long-term continuity, and breadth of opportunity.
It's not about choosing one. It's about realizing they all work together.
Exactly. It's about ditching their old no time excuse and creating a culture of learning, one where everyone has the chance to thrive. And that brings us to our final thought for today. What if investing in your least visible employees actually led to the biggest positive changes? Something to think about.